Before we sit down, let's open our Bibles quickly to the book of Psalms. Psalm 25 is our school of prayer. We're still talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. Another psalm we would have loved to read at length, but let me recommend for everybody to read it is Psalm 119, saying something similar to what you have in 25. Because it's our school of prayer, I'd like everybody to rise to our knees or our feet and let us read this psalm together. These are the basis of our confessions today. All right, please, I want you to read it warmly. Don't whisper, don't murmur it. I want the voices to be loud. You read any version you have. I just want us to go verse by verse, all right? So I'll probably for that reason lead a bit. That is, I will be letting you know when I'm in which verse so that you won't run ahead of the other people. 1-2, verse 1.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To, O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Verse 4. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Verse 5. Lead me your truth and teach me. Please pause for a moment. I want us to read verses 4 and 5 again. Let's go again. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. Let's pause for a moment. I just want to emphasize something here. You notice that it said, because you are the God of my salvation, what you do for me is not just to give me supernatural supplies. Because you are the God of my salvation, you don't just give me a wife, give me a husband, give me children, give me a job, give me money. No, because you are the God of my salvation, the primary thing that, in quote, you owe to me as the God of my salvation is to make me know your ways and you teach me your paths. You lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. Notice that. That is the emphasis that David places on the God of his salvation. That's the problem we have a lot of time in Christianity today. People go to God for what they will get out of him. They don't understand the meaning of his being the God of their salvation. What David is, and that's actually the confession I want to take once we finish reading this. Our emphasis is on this issue of knowing the ways of God, learning the paths of God, all right, knowing his truth, having him teach us what is right. We said last time that Satan thrives where we have, let me use a new word now, misunderstanding of the ways of God. Where we are walking away from God's order, that is where he thrives. When we have thoughts and ideas in our minds that are contrary to divine pattern, then Satan thrives there. That's what they call strongholds. Stronghold is not a group of people somewhere, all right, placing a curse upon you. That is a stronghold in my family. He says they will not make progress. No. Stronghold is when people think differently from what God says they should think like. Are you getting my point? So David said, this is what the God of my salvation owes to me as his duty as my God, the God of my salvation. He said, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. That's what you owe me as being the God of my salvation. Not so one kind of miracle. God does miracles, I say all the time. He does supernatural supplies, miracles. He does all kinds of miracles. But the primary thing that he owes to us as being the God of our salvation is that he must lead us in truth. Are you getting my point? Now let's continue reading. We're in verse 6, all right? Whichever version you have, want to go again. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sons of my youth, the sins of my youth, or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Say, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. Then verse 14, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. So my eyes are continually toward the Lord, for we pluck my feet out of the net. Verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Verse 18, look upon my affliction and my troubles, and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me. Verse 20, have my son deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Verse 22, he says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you believe the Lord is good, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now this is what we are reading here, Psalm 25. And you notice something that David is emphasizing for us, okay? And that's the fact that you see that what God owes to us, like I said, is understanding. We have to know his ways. He said, God, forgive me of my sins. He said, forget all the sins of my youth. And what he now says is simple. If you forget, it says in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. That is, when God wants to destroy somebody, he confuses his way. The fellow will not have understanding. He won't have direction. He says, so if God has forgiven me, what he will do is he will instruct me, all right, in the way. He now says in verse 9, he leads the humble in justice and teaches. Notice that. And he teaches the humble his way. What God does is to teach people. He said in that verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Now notice this. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. For that reason, if he chooses the right way, this is the conclusion of it, or this the outcome, his soul will abide in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord, he said, is with those who fear him. He will make them know his covenant. You notice, therefore, in verse 15, for that reason, my eyes are continually towards the Lord. What am I looking out for? I want instruction. I want direction. I want understanding. Very crucial. That is what we need as Christians, first of all, to understand the ways of God. We said last time that God says, my ways are not your ways. No, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Therefore, the other way around, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Therefore, my ways are not your ways. We said that it's a thinking pattern that produces a behavioral pattern. Do you understand? Your thinking pattern is what produces your behavior. If you think the way God thinks, you will behave the way he wants you to behave on this earth. That's just the way it is. It affects how you make decisions, you know. I explained something that when we talk about being led by the Spirit of God, people think that it means being led by the Holy Spirit will come and talk to you. My son, are you still sleeping? Wake up. Time to go to work. Say, Lord, I hear you. You're right. As you are knotting your tie, don't use the Winchester. Is it Winchester knots or use the Cambridge knot, whatever. Say, Lord, yeah, that will bring prosperity. You want to enter a car? Don't take your car today. Take a taxi. Say, praise God. The Lord was just speaking to me as I was coming. And we make the thing look so glorious and glamorous. And me too, God has not spoken to me like that before. If I was as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You are not yet a son of God, that I will be leading you. That's not what Paul said. When he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, let me emphasize to you again, there is a spirit of the world. Amen? That is a spirit of the world. This is how it works. I will never do anything when I don't get anything out of it. A lot of Christians these days, they are taught to give with the spirit of the world. Give only because you are going to get. That's not the spirit of God. The opposite of that is the spirit of God. I give because I want to be a blessing. I do what I do because they are right. Remember I say all the time, the primary reason why we do what we do is not because of what we are going to get, but because they are right. That's the spirit of God. That is, you have a different motivation in life. All right, that motivation, that thing that is pushing you in life is what the Bible calls the spirit. So if yours came out of God, you are being led by the Spirit of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit can tell you things. God sends his angels to give us direction. Those things, they happen. As a matter of fact, they do. But when he says you are being led by the Spirit, not talking about anybody whispering in your ears, he's saying that you have the understanding of the ways of God. Are you getting my point? That is, when you make a decision, you know that, look, this is how God wants these things done. That's, I made this decision by, I was led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, what we look out for, primarily in our lives as Christians, is understanding. Satan, we're talking about dealing with the devil in your life. Satan thrives where you get things wrong. If God says, everybody is left, right, left, all right, this is how you move. Is it not up, down, up, down? Satan says, move up, down, up, down.
The reason why he says that is that that is the only way he can thrive. He only thrives in the place where people misunderstand the order of God. Therefore, in your life, what's most important is what? Understanding. What did I call it?
Understanding.
And so when you want to pray, you pray for it. We're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. I'll talk about that further today. All right, let's just take these confessions of the word of God, all right? So that we can take our seats and I start teaching, all right? I was going to read something. All right, the Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. Okay, let's just take this confession. Just say this. This one we are taking from 2 Timothy chapter 4. But don't bother opening to it. I'll just read that for you. Paul was saying that the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And first of all, let's read Ephesians chapter 1, and that would be a better way to start. Ephesians chapter 1, let's just read that. We'll use that one to pray for ourselves and take a few confessions. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, quickly. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. And it's amazing that we have clear instructions in the scriptures or examples, but we don't often follow them. God came to Solomon. What do you want me to do for you? What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Then when God comes to us, what do you want me to do for you? He said, give me a car. You know, now the example is in the Bible, though, and we preach with it. I want everybody to follow it. Then when God now comes to us, say, what do you want me to do for you? He said, listen, this is before this Christmas, Lord. You have to say to me. With what? I need a car. Let me finish that house. What do you want me to do for you? I need a new wardrobe. Listen, you've read in the Bible that if God comes to you and says, what should I do for you? Stop asking for things like that. Do you know Christians still gather in church? Today's a special breakthrough night. You ask God for one thing he will do for you. Write it down. By next year, you will have it. Go and check the list. I want a car. I want a house. I want a child. I want to travel abroad. I need a holiday in the Bahamas. Yes, and the next day I will come for testimony. Praise the Lord. You know, last year, as pastor was just preaching. Amen. He just said I should ask God for anything. God's just going to do it. And then I asked him that this year, I must go for the holiday in Spain. And I sowed a dangerous seed to make sure it happens. Brethren, I'm just coming back. Can you see my face? You know, I'm just coming back from Spain. Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo, the word works. And Oh God, I'm sure the angels will just look at it, shake their head. Say, you should ask for one thing. Did you not take example from Solomon? Listen, when next I want to pray serious prayer, that is serious. That is like you are ready. You don't wear belts. Like today in our prayer. Say, God, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Let me walk in a manner that is pleasing to you. The next year, I say, any testimony? Yes. Brethren, last year I used to walk like a fool. Well, since this year, I have not made one decision that's out of order. That is real testimony. As for that car, God gave it to you, doesn't mean they won't steal it though. I hope you understand that. The fact that God gave you a car doesn't mean thief can't collect it. God can give you a car and I said, boys, can't bring that car for me. It doesn't mean it can't catch fire. God will say, have you seen that I can give car now? He said, yes. As you are driving, he say, park, wait, calm down. Boom! Lord is born. Yes. At least now we have said to you that I can give you a car. Can we go back and pray for something else? Are you getting my point? There's one thing nobody can steal from you. If God gives you wisdom and understanding, even the Lord himself, you know, there are things that God, in quote now, please understand me in context, fear. There are things that God will look at with respect. Say, can you see how these guys are in agreement? Then they want to do, even if we don't like it, they will do it. So what do we do? Let's go and make them disagree. So God has this respect for agreement. Another one God has respect for is wisdom. Do you know that? Let me prove it to you. When they were driving out Solomon, they said, where's Ahithophel? It's on their side. David. David said, Ahithophel, he's with them. He turned it to a prayer point. Lord, please, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. But you know, you go and check it, God couldn't even do that. Because the gifts and callings of God, that repentance. So he went to Ahithophel. Ahithophel decided to turn your counsel to foolishness. But that's not doable. So what I would do is I would turn their ears to deafness. You know what I'm saying? I will deafen their ears. They won't hear you. Ahithophel gave counsel so sound that when they didn't take it, he was so sure of it, he committed suicide. Now listen, he knew the outcome. He said, do this and do this. Once they didn't do it, he said, we are done. Nothing had happened. He just went home, put his house in order, and hung himself. Because he knew that once you don't follow this one that I have said, David is coming back. He understood that God, I don't think he was just talking about strategy alone. He just understood that God has said this man is not going. Once he didn't take his counsel. That's how much, the Bible says that that fellow, you talk to him, it's as if he inquired of the Lord. And it was just wisdom he was operating by. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. But that guy could stand almost now, side by side Samuel. Samuel will operate prophetic. God said, I had to say, wait, I'm not sure what God said, but if you do this and this, are you getting my point? So next time, listen, our prayer point should be focused on what? Understanding, on wisdom, for God to give us knowledge of his ways. That is the secret of breakthrough. Ephesians chapter 1. Are we there? Let's read this again. It's one that is very important. We'll use it to pray. And then we'll start our teaching again for today. Paul said it like this. At the same time, open to... after that, we'll go to Colossians chapter 1. We'll just read both of them. Let's start from verse... I will read it and then so as to save time. From verse 15. He said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists amongst you, verse 16, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What is it? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let me just stop it because of time, all right? Now, let's just take this together, all right? Let's talk in the prayer point, all right? Everybody, look at it in your Bible, and then you are going to take a minute and pray that prayer. You will turn it around, okay? Paul said it like this. You start also with thanksgiving. So you give God thanks. Just let's begin. As I begin to lead now, just be saying your own words. So you give God thanks for your life. Say, Father, I thank you for my life in the name of Jesus because I have faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that you, that verse 17 now, that you give me the spirit of wisdom. Everybody say it after me. Say, I pray that you give me this a spirit of wisdom and of revelation the knowledge of you. Say it loud, please. That the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. That I will know the hope of your calling. That I will understand the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. I want to know the surpassing greatness of your power that works toward me because I believe. Say it loud. I want to know the surpassing greatness of your power, Lord, working towards me because I believe. Now, quickly, the book of Colossians chapter 1. Let's read that one quickly. Then we haven't said these prayers. We'll take a few confessions. Just watch it in a moment. Now, Paul said like from verse 9, he said, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, the same, all right, spirit, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me just say this one to you. Okay? This is the prayer I pray for you now every day. You say, who? Me? Yes, you. Say, what's my name? Doesn't matter. What do I mean? Doesn't matter. I pray to God that anybody that doesn't matter whether you are here or not, once you are listening to the sound of my voice, me preaching, this is a prayer I pray for everybody. Because Jesus prayed like this. I'm praying not only for them, all right, but I'm praying for those who will believe by their words. I was praying for the disciples. Are you getting my point? And that's how I pray for everybody that listens to me. This is just my scripture. I'm not praying that God will give you a car. I'm not praying that God will give you a house. I said those things are not important. Those are the things that are added. What did I call them? They are added. They are added. How should I pray that God will give you a car when I have already prayed that you'll be able to give them out as regular wedding presents? But the time will come, you buy like 10 in the backyard, just in case you're not around, somebody's wedding. Just phone the house, take one, go to that wedding, tell them I traveled.
Amen.
Thank you, thank you. I like it when you say this kind of amen. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You will abound to every good work.
Amen.
Now, is this such people will be praying that please God give them a car? Does that make sense?
No.
No, it doesn't make sense. Thank you very much. So this is a prayer I pray. I pray for you all the time. That if I don't even pray this prayer, just say amen to it. Just say amen now.
Amen.
So we are, let's start the confession from here. Because you have it already. I've prayed it for you. And the fact that you said amen now means you have claimed it.
Amen.
And this is your portion. Listen to this. You are filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
Declare, say, I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
With the knowledge of
in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Say it, I walk worthy of the Lord.
I walk worthy of the Lord.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I walk in a manner worthy
of one bearing his name.
I walk in a manner worthy of one bearing his name.
Let me just say something again. Your words is not confirming what happened yesterday. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your word is declaring what will happen from now till tomorrow. And thereafter. So even if you came here having fought in the market, don't worry about it. You are forgiven. Somebody annoyed you, this person is slapped. We know that's not worthy of the Lord. But that was then. We are talking about what? Now. So declare it again. Say, I walk in a manner.
I walk in a manner.
Worthy of the Lord.
Worthy of the Lord.
I walk in a manner.
I walk in a manner.
Worthy of one bearing his name.
Worthy of one bearing his name.
Say it, I'm filled with spiritual wisdom.
I'm filled with spiritual wisdom.
Of all kinds.
I'm
filled with spiritual understanding,
with spiritual
of all kinds.
Say
it, I'm bearing fruit in every work.
I'm bearing fruit in every
good work.
And
I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Declare it loud, I'm increasing in the knowledge of God.
I am strengthened with all power.
According to the might of God.
According to the glory of God.
I walk in patience.
I walk in steadfastness.
And I give thanks to God all the time. Because he has qualified me
to
share inheritance with the saints. Say,
I'm not walking in darkness.
I am walking in the light of God. Declare it, I am not walking in darkness.
I am walking in the light of God.
Let me say something to you quickly about wisdom before you sit down. When God gave Solomon wisdom, I can assure you of one thing, he didn't feel wiser. He just started feeling wise. Say, sir, what's going on? My head is swelling. I feel wise. No, there was nothing like that. You know what happened? He went to work as usual. Are you getting my point? As a young king in Israel. And they sat down and said, okay, so what's happening? So all the princes, what they say princes now, not his children, all the ministers, the other rulers, they are watching him. You know, you look at his fine, smooth face. So this boy is the king. Now, wow. Why was my father not king? You know, you are thinking, look at how young he is. He's already the king. Nobody thought anything. They didn't take him serious. Then they rushed in two girls. With one dead baby and a living one. And God set that thing up. You know that. God set it up to give Solomon respect. There was no one, there was no advanced knowledge that, listen, we are going to bring a difficult problem today. I guess I don't think people just walk in to come and meet the king like that. Moses ensured that it wasn't like that. Moses already established a structure, or which Israel understood. Difficult cases are the only ones that get to the big guy. So all the other people around that said, listen, how do we handle this? The two children look alike, the two women look alike. We don't know who is who. So send it to the king. It was when the king heard the story, listen to this, that understanding suddenly came upon him. I don't know what I get what I'm going to explain. He wasn't walking around feeling wise. It was when he got to a difficult situation that wisdom showed up and said, listen, I'm here. You're not alone. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
why did I tell the story? I want you to understand that you are filled with wisdom.
Amen.
And the next difficult problem, listen, don't say, hey, let's call somebody. Just say that, look, I have spiritual wisdom. I have spiritual understanding. What is it? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's it. It's an attitude. Listen, if you have that attitude, wisdom will show up for you.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
don't be a complainer. I've told them, what is wrong with these people, sir? I said, you should buy this since last week. No, that's not the attitude. There's a problem, you get back to work, you get to work tomorrow. A problem shows up, instantly you declare it. I have spiritual wisdom, I have understanding. And listen to me, God will show up for you.
Amen.
I hope you're hearing what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
In fact, as you are getting back home now, somebody will know you went somewhere.
Amen.
Yeah, because there are people this evening, to prove this word, God will bring problems to your house this night.
Amen.
This night. And you know why it's coming to your house? Don't say, why are they disturbing? Can't they see I'm sleeping? It is because you have spiritual wisdom. You are the one that will solve the problem. Declare it again. Say, I have spiritual wisdom.
I have spiritual wisdom.
I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
And I have spiritual wisdom.
I have spiritual understanding.
Say it again. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
And I please Him in all that I do.
Let me say this one before we sit down. Remember, people say, is this thing you are doing, is it the will of God? I want to tell you, have you prayed? Has God spoken to you? You've heard my gist before. One brother said that the wife you are marrying now, did God speak to you before you married her? Remember my answer? What did I say?
Yes.
How did He speak to you? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. I said, that's it. He had to say that before I was married. Is that not so? Of course, the brother laughed. His name is Chuks. He laughed. He almost fell down from the stool. He was sitting on the stool in front of me that day. What was he waiting to hear? When you prayed, I said, I saw the girl. I liked her. That's why I wrote a chapter in the book. Should I say yes? The chapter was titled, I Married the Girl I Liked. Period. Holy Spirit didn't whisper to you? No. Angel, you don't come. I was not around. So what happened? I saw a lady one day. She said, please, I want to ask you a question. She asked the first question. I said, I didn't have time to answer. She asked the second one. As she was talking, I was looking at her. I said, my God. So when she was about to leave, I said, that's your first question. Maybe we should see later. I'll finish it. And I ran to go and meet my friend, Chukseke. I said, Chukli, come. He said, waiting. I said, just come. He said, looking for the woman. She don't disappear. Anyway, let's make a long story short. We are here today. I was led by the Spirit of God. Nobody whispered anything to me. The angel just said, look this way. Eh? No. The angel balanced my eye. Said, do you like that? I said, guy, it's not bad. Pastor Banke, are you being carnal? Listen to me. It's not carnality. I was not in a bar. Amen? Yes, it's true. It's only if I was in 8 hours now, you'd be saying that you saw a girl in 8 hours and you liked her. It's against the will of God. In fact, I just finished preaching that morning. She too was there to hear the word. I was in good company. Praise the Lord. If the Lord didn't like it, you'll have scattered it. As long as the Lord didn't scatter it, I knew it was the will of God. I don't have time to explain all these things in details. Now, this is what it means to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Let me just take a simple example. Somebody will say that, but you are not from the same area. I say, how do you know? We are from the same area. Amen?
Amen.
By natural birth, born of flesh, flesh and blood. Okay? Yes, I'm from one state in Western Nigeria, and she's from one state in mid-east or mid-west, somewhere, south-south, all right, whatever. But since we are not operating by the flesh, are you getting my point? We are operating by the Spirit. So as far as I was concerned, we are from the same area. What is that area called? Faith. Christ, thank you. We are from the same area of faith, the same area of Christ. Now, that is being filled with spiritual wisdom. The knowledge of His will. That is the primary thing about the knowledge of God's will.
Listen, before you go and pray and say, Spirit, Holy Spirit, whisper something, I'm over here. Before you get to this, say, look, there's a still small voice that's coming inside you. I was reading Zakune. Zakune said, listen, those voices sound alike. I had not even seen that when I used to say things I was saying. He said, the voice of your desire sounds like the other one. To all of them sound alike. They're telling the difference is hard. So forget voices for a moment. Just be filled with the understanding of his will. The will of God can be understood. So you hear something, you just say, that one is not the will of God. There are things you hear, I just be telling me like this, when you finish telling the story, this one is not the will of God. It breaks a lot of rules of spiritual understanding. Please, I'm bringing an issue here. It is not who has heard a voice that's the person that's walking in the will of God for his or her life. No, that's not the person. It is a person that's obeying the revealed truth of God. Are you getting my point? You say, God didn't speak to me before I entered this walk. Why did you go to walk there in the first place? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Because as a child of God, this was what Elsworth Chambers said. He said, your natural response to things if you are walking with God is the will of God. Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, so I want you to understand that when you say with confidence, I am filled with the knowledge of his will. You are not saying it because I prayed and God spoke to me. That's not what we're talking about. It's more of I have removed the hindrances, the things that prevent people from understanding what God says about their lives. Say it again. I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
I have spiritual understanding and I have spiritual wisdom. Let's declare this. I read something earlier, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's just quickly say this so we can get into our teaching. Say, I endure sound doctrine.
I
do not listen to my own desires.
I do not have itchy ears.
My ears are tuned to truth.
Say
this, I have more understanding than my teachers.
I have more understanding than
because the word of God is my constant meditation. Say, the commandments of God have made me wiser than my enemies. For his words are ever before me. Say, for his words are ever before me. Say, I have understanding in the word of God. Therefore, I have the wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, my eyes are open. I have insight because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, there's a lot of deception out in the world. People, even supposed Christians, will even come and tell you that T.B. Joshua is a man of God. That shows you how easy it is to be deceived. Deception is plenty outside. Did you hear what I said? Half is a conservative estimate. Half, I found out, half of the people that use the title prophets these days are not even Christians. They are not born again. Half. Now, that's a conservative estimate. Prophet is the reigning thing. But there's one thing, listen, don't be worried. Say, how will I not be deceived? Don't worry about it. Let me say to you, you will not be deceived.
Amen.
I say to you again, you will not be deceived.
Amen.
I want you to say this, say, I am not subject to deception.
I am not subject to deception.
Remember, our words are creating for us. We're not bragging ourselves. You're not saying I'm smart. You are just saying this is what the Spirit of God is doing in me. Are you getting my point? Say it again, I am not subject to deception.
I am not subject to deception.
Because I love the word of God. Say it, I am not subject to deception.
I am not subject to deception.
Because I love the word of God. And because it is written that I have an anointing from God the Father. Say like you believe it, the Spirit of truth is with me.
The Spirit of truth is with me.
And he leads me into all truth.
And he leads me into all truth.
Say it, I have the Spirit of God with me.
I have the Spirit of God with me.
Therefore I have the Spirit of wisdom.
Therefore I have the Spirit.
Now I'm taking this from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. Say, I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit
of understanding.
I have the spirit of
counsel and strength.
I have the spirit of
knowledge.
And
I have the spirit of the fear of God.
Therefore, I delight in the
way
of the Lord.
Therefore, I delight in the fear of the Lord. Say, I do not judge with the seeing of my eyes.
And
I do not make decisions by the hearing of my ears. I judge with the Spirit of God.
I judge with spiritual wisdom.
and I joy with spiritual understanding.
And I joy with spiritual understanding.
Let me say this as you sit down. 419 will not get you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No matter how real they are, they will not get you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody will hack your account successfully in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will be defended by the spirit of wisdom and spiritual discernment at all times in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not follow the fellow that will lead you into trouble.
Amen.
Listen, you will not follow that young man, that young woman that will lead you into trouble.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not because you are wise in yourself. It is because the spirit of wisdom is with you.
Amen.
It's because the spirit of wisdom is with you.
Amen.
Say it again, I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
The spirit of truth is with me.
The spirit of truth is with me.
Therefore, he leads me into all truth.
Therefore, he leads me into all truth.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, we still have some time. Let's take the next 30 minutes or so, or about 40 minutes, and continue what we began to discuss about. I was talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. And please, let's not forget some points we have made. Very important. Number one, the devil doesn't have power like most people think that he has. A lot of people think the devil is so powerful. When they see him coming, they hide. He doesn't have power. Sometimes he tries to pretend like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in your faith. Once you are steadfast in faith, you are immune to his devouring activities. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
He cannot just devour you because he doesn't like you. He has never liked you. Are you getting my point? The truth is that he doesn't have the power that most people think he has. The only thing that happens is that sometimes people give him room, and we've talked about that. Let's ensure that we do not give Satan room in our lives. And last time I spoke about that word, stronghold, and let's just read that scripture that we read again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, quickly, let's just read that. We'll read that, and then the main text I'll take from today will be from the book of Matthew chapter 6, but let's just read this again, just to catch up with where we were. That's, we're talking about strongholds. Remember some statements I made? I said Satan thrives in strongholds. That is, he is not a generator of strongholds per se. Let me just say this again for those who are not around, in case somebody is joining this message from this point, I can refer to the previous ones, but this is a point about strongholds. Stronghold is not a satanic bondage that was originated in a cult or by a man like Balaam, do you understand, that has so much power in his spells that he casts a spell upon somebody and the person can't do well. Stronghold is not something you break because you're angry with the devil. So you say, no, let that stronghold be broken. Stronghold is not like that. Strongholds are in our minds. Where did I say? In our minds. All right? Strongholds are the thoughts that we hold on to that are opposed to the truth of God. Anything that we hold on to that is not in accordance with the word of God is a stronghold. I quoted Eric Prince last time. Eric Prince said that the problem with Christians is not just about learning truth. That learning new things is very easy. Well, relatively, I'm not saying it's just so easy, but that where they have their main problem is that they don't let go of the old thing. We have done it like this all our lives, you understand? Therefore, it has to be like that. This is how it's been said since I was young. It has to be like that. So they hold on to it, and that is what is called a stronghold. Now, let's just read that one again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me just read from verse 3. Paul said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, or they are not carnal, King James says, but they are divinely powerful, mighty through God, for the destruction of strongholds or fortresses. And what are we destroying? What are those strongholds? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now notice what strongholds are there. They are speculations, lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God, and thoughts, all right, that are in disobedience to Christ. That's what strongholds are. Strongholds are not satanic spells. They are not things that people worship. strongholds are not a spell, that they are not the power, you know, like somebody is bound by the devil. That's not what it is. It is the problem, however, is that anywhere you have a stronghold, Satan thrives there. I said something last time, very important. It's not just what you participate in. There are things that you are not engaged in, you are not involved in, but the stronghold is in your mind. Very important. The example I used last time is about marriage. That I'm already married, okay? So my idea of how to choose a wife or whether you can marry from here or the other doesn't matter anymore because I'm already married. However, if I hold a wrong thought in mind, all right? If I hold a wrong idea in mind, it begins to affect those who I minister to and it affects my children because I'm a gatekeeper. That's what I said. Every Christian is a gatekeeper in life. You are a gatekeeper somewhere. So sometimes you are not even directly involved in doing some activities because the way things are, you can't possibly be involved. You know, I'm not trying to choose a wife as an example. But the thoughts you have is allowing Satan into the place where you are supposed to be keeping the gate. Like, remember, Adam was supposed to be the gatekeeper. God said to him, guard this garden and keep it. He did not do what he was supposed to have done, and that's why Satan had a way into their lives. Do you understand the point I'm making there? So you see, you are supposed to be a gatekeeper, so you watch your thoughts. You know, people don't realize it. They handle life from a very wrong level. They take trees, all right, and they are cutting the leaves. And every year, when rain falls, the tree, all right, you know, grows again. Where God says, go to the root. Are you getting my point? Go to the root. Don't just try and handle the leaves. Many of the problems we are trying to, you know, tackle in life, they come from wrong ideas. Now, if you look at the door that leads to this hall, it's relatively small compared to what is in the space inside. That's how doors are. Doors usually are small things. But what they lead to is not small. You go to a stadium. How many people can pass through the gate at a time? Okay, big gate, all right. 15 here. The other gate, 15. All right, maybe 20. So at a time, 60 people. But that stadium will conveniently seat 20,000. That's how doors are. And I'm saying to you again, your thoughts, they are what? Doors. That's why I say you're a doorkeeper. What will enter into your life passes through your thoughts. There are people that, you know, I told you last time that there's a material I'm supposed to get ready. I have not even written it. It's titled, I Need to Know. You want to marry a man? Forget how he looks or how she looks. Talk to the person. It's how somebody reasons that determines what he or her future will be like. It's thoughts. People think it's about labor. You go out, you go and work harder, work harder, work harder. Listen, if you keep working harder, 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 it does not produce anything different. You know, you just be having more of what you were having before. Unless you change your mind. And that's why Jesus, he laid hands on the sick, they got well. When he saw people, poor people, he said, wait, there's no laying of hands. You go and check the scriptures, he refused. If you say, okay, lay hands on me now so that I will prosper. Jesus said, I'm sorry, I didn't come with that kind of anointing. If you are sick, we lay hands on you, you get well. If you are dead, it's even better. We'll wake you up from the dead. That is, it's easier to raise the dead. You don't get what I'm saying. When Jesus saw the poor, he said, wait, sit down there. John, make sure they come back every day for the next 2 months. For teaching, instruction. The Bible said the poor had the gospel preached to them. That's what he did. When he saw the dead, Lazarus, comfort. You can't see, receive your sight. You can't walk, get up and walk. Take up a pallet and go home. No wahala. But, sir, my problem, poverty. Ye. Why? Because poverty is you know, you know, just by the way, you see those children that you see on the road with their parents begging? Anytime I get there, you know what offends me? That these children are being raised to be poor. That this is a generational poverty. Now, for your information, those guys are making money. This is Nigeria. They are making money. But the children are being taught, you are the tail and not the head. This guy is two. He's already running after cars. He's a little boy. He grows up a beggar. You can't lay hands and drive that thing away from his head.
You can't. And it's a spirit. Everywhere he goes, he attracts poverty. Some of them think they are smart, begging, because they are making some money. Listen, working and earning is not about, it's a spiritual transaction that you are exporting substance into the life of somebody else. It's spiritual. That somebody's life is improved because you are alive. That's why God keeps you alive. Are you getting my point? That somebody's existence is easier because you are not dead. No beggar has that to brag about. He's literally a pest on everybody else. Therefore, God can never make him rich. You want that young man to grow up and be rich in life? That's why Oyinboma will go and rescue, you know, societies that things work. They will go and collect the children. You want to beg, but they will collect the children from you. Because if we let you raise these children, you are going to raise another generation of beggars. So let's take these children and go and teach them how to read, how to write, how to walk. One day they will be billionaires. That's what strongholds are. It is built inside somebody's head. He has a thought. He has a wrong thinking pattern. That's why God said, my ways are not, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You think wrong. And that's why God was so emphatic about it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was talking about marriage earlier. You talk to a lot of people. They don't want that is, you know, you hear women, you know, if you've seen frustrated women, counsel new brides. Have you never been there when a frustrated middle-aged woman is counseling a new bride? This is a time to get everything from your husband. That is, somebody just getting married. An older woman is saying to her, this is the time now you can enjoy your husband. That is, later on, you go, don't expire. You will soon expire. He won't give you anything again. You see the thought with which she entered into marriage. I am supposed to go there and get from him. Are you getting what I'm explaining? That is why she's not happy. That is why she's talking the nonsense in her mouth. That was what her mother taught her some 30 years ago. So when she was going in, she came in with that kind of attitude. After 15, 20 years, it has begotten for her the unhappiness she has right now. But she doesn't realize that it's not just that my husband is bad. I have a wrong attitude towards this thing. I have come in here thinking I'm a problem that he's supposed to solve. So we come in, he's supposed to take care of me. This upside down mentality we have is very, very ungodly. The point is this, I am not a burden to the man. I'm a blessing. I wasn't created for him to take care of. God created a garden, he said, guard it and keep it. When he saw that he couldn't do it alone, he now brought him a help so that two of them, are you getting my point? We do the work of God. So why should I marry now and say, this is the time to collect? Okay, if I collect, where am I carrying it to? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Okay, now I've collected from him. To where? You know, we walk in life. Listen, that's why, you know, Satan, Christians, you know, my teaching is how to deal with the devil in your life. Christians have, human beings generally, let me not talk about Christians now, human beings generally, they've created the place for Satan to thrive. And he's thriving all the time. By the way they approach life, their thought patterns, and then they now go to church and they want to rebuke him. And the devil is confused. The devil, you know why the confusion? He doesn't know whether he should go out or come in or stay out, turn left, turn right. Once they are praying, he gets confused. So when he's confused, he just stays there. Because, I don't know. You know, how do I describe it now? Okay, assume you have a worker, you know. He said, I'm going to sack you tomorrow. And as it comes to work, he said, this is your new car. He's getting confused that time. He said, well, we just nice up the office for you and your wife. Next holiday, this is a ticket to Dubai. So they're like, excuse me, sir. I was due for sacking today, you know. I don't know whether you get my point. And you tell this devil you want to go, you are going away out of my life. And then you dress a nice room for him, buy him a nice car. Say, devil, in case you want to go out when I'm not around, use this car. And you tell him, you are rebuking. You guys say, you are not rebuking me. Now, what is all this confusion? Why? Because with the mouth, you are rebuking him. But with the heart, you are welcoming him. With the thought pattern, you are saying, you are my friend. Are you getting my point? You guys have everything in common. Satan is just not a person that, just drive me away. He's also a principle. I don't know whether you get my point. So when you open the door, he has to stay. He has to stay. That's what we discussed last time. Strongholds. Strongholds are the things that glue the devil into our lives. People walk into life thinking that life owes them. And they're praying for prosperity. God says, wait. Why are you getting the heavens confused here? Those who are blessed with prosperity don't think life owes them anything. They come into life and believe that they have been sent by God to go and change things. So people are blessed. They are not grabby people. That's why the Bible says there is he that scattereth, yet he increases. But there's one that withholds more than his meat and only tends towards poverty. It's a spiritual principle. I told you before, you're looking for a job. People say, all the witches in our village said I won't find work. They can say what they like. All the witches in my village also said I was dead. Am I not here right? I don't know whether you're following my point. They can say what they like. Anybody say what you like. It's the one I listen to and I believe that matters. Are you getting my point? Yes. So, this is what I'm making. But the young man looking for work, he has a stronghold of don't employ me. What am I, a stronghold? He has this attitude that when I get there, I must work as little as possible for as much as possible. And because I'm a university graduate, the country owes me a job. And if I make my boss a millionaire, he should pay me 2 million. It's an attitude. You know, it's inside the heart. That is, if I make him a million, he should pay me 2. So he goes around looking for work, and it's a spirit. And the spirit of frustration, all right? The satanic spirit of confusion and frustration likes that thought process. It likes that stronghold. So it comes and dwells in his head. And the man is wondering why things are not moving. And Satan says, it's not your fault. It's the country. If they had finished the second Niger Bridge 6 years ago, by now you'll be rich. So he's angry. Why are they just commissioning it? Can you imagine? Fuel was scarce for the last 1 week. That is why you're not making progress. Yes, it's Jonathan's fault. Can you imagine? Do you know why you're not making progress? You don't have enough planes for land in Enugu. Yes, it's civil aviation's fault. Everything, everybody's crazy. It's not me. In fact, I'm the only person that's normal in this country. The president is mad. Governors are stupid. The senators are crooks. The local government president is an imbecile. Let's make a long story short. In fact, Pastor Baki is confused. I'm the only normal person. All these my friends, they don't know anything. I am the only normal person. And the fellow walks around and is rebuking the devil. The devil said, I am not rebukable under these circumstances. Why? You have built a very strong place in your life for me to stay with your thought process. You don't realize that as a child of God, these things are not big enough to hinder your progress. You don't understand that if there's a problem in life, there's a solution that God sent into that place. Let me say this to you, women. If you will love your husband and pray for him, there's no how on earth he won't be rich. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Yes. Okay, there are more men here than women. But the ladies here, did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Love him and do what? Pray. That is, pray. You know the kind of thing, when he's going out in the morning, just kneel down somewhere and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, breakthrough in Jesus' name. Not, last week, look at Angela's husband. Angela's husband. She bought her brand. Look, the man went to Dubai. 150,000 naira for the ring. In fact, you know, The guy just gets poorer and poorer and poorer. How won't he get poorer when you're supposed to help him, but you are now a problem in his soul? I just felt like dropping that. Because the woman was created to be a help. So that when the man is walking, somebody is praying for him. In this life, you need prayer. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You need prayer. If you are smart, you need prayer. If you are dull, you need prayer. There's nothing in you need prayer. Listen, there is no possible on earth. For if somebody says, I'm very skilled, skill is all I need, is a lie. Every man that has succeeded in life has understood something. With all my skill, I need what they call luck. They call it luck. They realize that they just have to be lucky. Harrison Ford said it. Nobody can rightfully claim credit for anything. He said there is luck and there is grace. Those are the two words he chose. Luck, we said, is a colloquial expression for the word what? Blessing. So if a man is going to succeed in life, somebody should be praying for him. You should pray for me. I'm preaching to you right now, and I'm asking you, pray for me. The kind of understanding Paul had, I'm not sure say some of us don't scratch near that side. Are you getting my point? But he said, he would not say, please pray for us. If Paul will ask people to pray for him, then prayer must be important. What I want to say, this is an attitude that brings forth prosperity inside the home. Now, can you believe it? Angelina's husband has bought a new Lexus for her. I don't know what's wrong with my husband. That's it. The man wake up next morning is confused. He doesn't know why he's confused though. That's the interesting part. He doesn't even know why he's confused. Just wakes up and he's confused. The second he was like, good morning, sir. He said, I don't even understand. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm talking about strongholds again. Please, is the thought process. Let me quickly sit. I've been talking on, I'm trying to explain it. I need to sit on the solution. Do you understand? Because we're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. That's what we're talking about. How do I handle that? Remember I said something before? You are not under a curse. I keep on saying it. The fact that you've had problems 10 times means one of two things. It means you're a righteous man. No, let's have it 7 times. If you had the problem 7 times, you're a righteous man. Amen?
Amen.
The righteous man has 7 problems, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. And if you know the way the numbers are used in the scriptures, it just means righteous man can have problem anytime. That's me of the word 7. He can have problem perfect enough to lead to bankruptcy, but the Lord will still deliver him from it. So if you have problems, it's not a sign of a curse. Amen?
Amen.
That is clear. It also means simply that you need to learn how not to do it. That the way you were doing it is the wrong way. You need to learn a lesson. That's a winner's attitude. That's the kind of attitude that Satan, the Satan of poverty, cannot stay inside. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. All right? Very, very important. Now, let me just explain something now. We're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. How do I drive him out? If this stronghold is a place where he hides. Remember, the Red Prince said that it's easier to learn something new than to discard that which one has had for a very long time. And that's why that scripture we read at the beginning is very, very important. The psalm we read, Psalms 25, quickly open back to it, and Ephesians chapter 1, both of them are very important. Of course, if disagreeing with God is a stronghold, holding on to ideas that are not of God is a stronghold, that means simply the freedom from it is truth. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and that truth shall do what? Set you free. That truth that you have known shall make you free. I said to you before that this is how truth sets free. Now, listen to this. Truth changes the way you approach life. Truth changes your thinking process. Truth changes how you make your decisions. Because remember, we all read from that Psalm 25. David kept on emphasizing that God will show him the way. He will show him the truth. Open his eyes. He was saying that even if I was a sinner, all right, God will have mercy on me. And if God has mercy on me, what he will do is to reveal truth to me. That is, it is blindness that God uses to punish sinners.
Are you getting my point? Yes, confusion. It's always like that. That is, when God wanted to destroy Absalom, he removed the wisdom of Ahithophel from him. That was the only way. If that fellow had followed Ahithophel's counsel, there would have been a problem for David. You are getting the point I'm making? So this is how Satan binds people. Once they have that stronghold, he sits in there and confuses them further. And they start making wrong decisions one after the other about life. I mean, very common. Look at businessmen a lot of times. Sometimes you look at people and say, this way you are behaving, poverty is guaranteed. See a man trying to scrape every naira he can get from his customers. Just this one, poverty is your friend. That is, nobody said it's vexed. And check it. You come back 10 years later, he's still in that shop inside the market. Customer, you see, just know that check the dimension of the shop that's been the same for the last 10 years. I remember one man defrauded me as a little boy. I like that story. Not because I'm angry with him. What is it? They gave Christmas night, they give you money and stuff like that. A friend of mine now conspired, collected our money and went to the market. And we're little boys. When I say little boys, we'll be like 8 years old. We now went to the market to go and buy something. Instead of him to drive us back home, say, two of you, go back to where you came from. I still remember very well. I was very small. Now, it's long ago. Very, very long. Of course, it has to be long if I was around 8 years, that about. Okay, well, if you give a child money, what will he buy? No big toy. I'm not likely to have bought a book. Assuming the toy was supposed to be like, okay, let me give him today's value. Maybe it's supposed to be like 500 naira. He sold it for like 3,000. Something like that. Now, the interesting part is that years later, when I was driving back to town, now, get my point. Now, I'm driving back to town. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying.
Yes.
No, get it now. I'm driving what?
Back.
It's still in that shop. Yeah, I don't know what I'm getting the point I'm making. And I'm coming back, you know. This is the day of the Lord. I'm driving. There's a woman by my side. I'm married, you know, just driving. Look at the shop. Is he owned the shop? He's 20 years older. He hasn't prospered much. How can you prosper much? There's an attitude. Anybody that's always grabbing, has a mentality that the spirit of poverty loves. People of poverty say, this guy is our friend. He comes one day, he goes away, goes to bring 7 demons more wicked than himself. Now, you see, poverty has some people more wicked than him. Should I name them for you? Let me not waste your time. It brings a kind of disease affliction. If you are poor and you are healthy, you are safe. You know that? You come poor, come get stroke on top of Allah. The doctor now says, sorry, he's also diabetic. That's another demon more wicked than the poverty. The comes wife will leave him, another one. Spirit of divorce, that's third problem, more wicked than the poverty. Why? Simply because he loved money. You know what I'm trying to say in all of these things? Let me just emphasize before we read this. The issue is that most problems in life, people want to tackle them by casting out Satan, casting out the devil. Meanwhile, the problem is that they have a stronghold in their heart that makes it impossible to drive out that devil out of their lives. I was talking about the importance of prayer earlier. That is why, listen, the Bible says every man's way is right in his own eyes. I hope you understand that. Yes, that's why people always argue. They will sit down and they'll be arguing because this fellow thinks he's right, this fellow thinks he's right. So two of them are arguing. So who is right? Let me summarize it. Nobody knows. The man who is sure he's right, the Bible says he should go home and also pray. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Even if you think you are right, and that's the solution to driving the devil out of your life in that area, you go home and you go and do what? You pray. Like we read from that Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said it's a simple prayer. He said, Ephesians chapter 1, quickly. Well, let me just read it. We've read it before. He said, this is a prayer. You pray that God will give you, you pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so you will know. Let me just summarize it there. So that you will do what? You will know. Listen, before, now, I quoted for you the other day about Derek Prince. Derek Prince said they had a meeting and somebody had a vision and saw an evil spirit, all right?
that was causing confusion in their camp. So because they've seen it now, they say, okay, let us bind it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you cannot bind that devil until you have made some, you have done some work in reconciling yourselves in your relationships. And they said it took some few hours of intense negotiations. People talking to themselves, confessing, praying for one another. They had to do that before they were able to get rid of that spirit. And I can assure you of one thing, even if nobody saw that spirit and they did the same thing, the spirit will still have left them. Because Satan cannot thrive cannot stay where he cannot thrive. Are you getting my point? Where he cannot live, where he's not comfortable, he will not stay there. And that's why in life, before you start driving out demons, Satan out of your life, rebuking the devil, ask yourself, how did he get here in the first place? I was saying earlier, using marriage as an example, you talk to a lot of people, their thoughts and ideas about it is just wrong. That is just wrong. Wrong. I remember those days, I would talk to young women. I was single too, but you know, the Bible says that the aged are not always wise, alright? I was single, the Bible says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I have studied the scriptures, and God has given me some understanding. I will be talking to women, some of them married. And when I finish talking, you know all they have to tell me? That go and marry from your village. That's the only answer I will get. I remember one young woman once, she looked at me and said, sorry for your wife. That was the only answer I got. I was teaching Bible. And all she had to say was what? Sorry for your wife. Does my wife look like somebody she'd be sorry for now? And they didn't have anything to say from no reference that will say what you're saying is not correct. I remember once, in fact, you want to give us an example, one of my friends. We're just talking about some things. I try to explain the issue of a relationship between a man and his wife, compared, that is, side by side relationship between him and his mother. Do you understand? When I finished, he looked at me. He said, do you know I'm an only child? I don't know what I heard. I said, I did not know until that day. We're just talking. You know, I was just talking about, you know, how a man, and we're both students. I think we're final year students then. But we're studying the scriptures and all of that. So I was just explaining some things from what I've learned from this Bible. When I finished, he said, all he had to say was, do you know I'm an only child? So I said to him, then go and marry your mother. And you are an only child. And go and marry your mother now. Or you remain single all your life. Now, the point I'm making is that he didn't say that, no. Are you sure the Bible said that? Is that the word of God? No. He said, do you know I'm an only child? That's what is called doubt. And you know, Satan doesn't care that you're an only child. Just disobey God. That's what he's looking for. You'll be an only child. Then after a while, you'll be an only husband. Are you getting my point? No wife. Listen. A lot of the problems we are chasing around in life. Satan, get out. Satan said, I can't get out. You've tied me down. Like you chain your dog and beat the dog. Get out of here. The dogs are, okay, you chain me for, come go out. He wants to go out too. Say, this dog, if you poop on this floor again, and you wee on this floor, there will be problem. So doggy said, okay, no problem. No more wee on the floor, no more poop on the floor. You give the dog food, give the dog water, then you chain the dog down. After a while, doggy will try not to do it, but what I'm going to say, you cannot cast out the demon you are holding down. It's not possible. I was trying to emphasize that. So people, you see, will gather in churches. I know some of you here go to such churches. May God help you and your pastor. You guys gather, and they have been for the last 3 days on Satan. The Satan that says that they will not progress. The Satan that is breaking their homes. The Satan that is making their children not do well in school. And they've been driving these Satans out annually since this church was founded 10 years ago. And they will still drive him out next year. What does that tell you? The guy is not going anywhere. Yes. Why is he not going anywhere? He can't go anywhere. He's chained down by their wrong attitudes
You understand? They have not taken the word of God. They've not settled down and said, all right, like I said earlier, you're a gatekeeper. Why is it that my children, time they go to school, they become rascals? They never know anything. They don't concentrate on their books. The pastor has never taken time out to teach them that one, your mouth, how do you use it at home? Most of the time, go to those churches. 90% are women, you know now. It's just the way life is. I don't know how God is like that, but women tend to like such places. 90%. So what I'm saying so is this. So you ask the women, this mouth, how do you use it towards their father? Because that's a very important example. The first example of respect for authority a child ever gets is a mother. So if the woman does yumu for the mother behind, you know what they call yumu? Cowbell. Is that what they call it? So the father will finish talking. Father says, okay, nobody goes near the TV. Once it's 8 o'clock, he says, all right, then the mother and the child will do the duka obel according to you. Yeah. The child won't know, the mother doesn't realize it, but she has opened a door for a disobedient spirit. That boy goes to school, he's very unruly. And that the teacher says, all right, tomorrow morning by 8 o'clock, the test will start. The boy will, he will cowbell the teacher. Tell the colleagues, don't worry about it. No test is going to happen. He has a rebellious spirit. And the mother will come and say, hey, which kind of children are these children? No. And the spirit said that, they are our children. Me and you are raising them. That's the evil spirit. The pastor hasn't taught them to listen in their house. How do you use your mouth towards the kids? You will never amount to anything. How are you useless children? And say thank you, thank you, thank you. You see, if you are too soft to your children, you mustn't be soft to them. You'll be tough on them. What's their own toughness? This useless boy, I told you to carry this in here. You are going to be a thief one day. You are going to be a thief. The boy says, be it unto me according to thy word. Listen, the boy tries to stop stealing, but there is a force working in his members, introduced by his mother and his father. His father is equally responsible because he wasn't there to tell the boy, you will not be a thief. So the only one the boy is hearing is that, I am going to be a thief one day. One day I'm going to be a mafia don. So he joins the cult just to become what his mother has prophesied. And the mother, the father, they don't understand what is going on. The truth is that they introduced a spirit into the home. They now go to church and they want to bind a spirit that they have not even stopped. The younger ones, they are already saying, you will be like your brother. You are going to be like your brother. They're already prophesying. You are going to be like your brother. Eh? Don't worry. One day police will catch all of you and kill all of you. Your own children. But she doesn't realize. He doesn't realize that these words are powerful. They are important. Then he goes to church and says, let me bind the devil. And the devil is confused. Say, excuse me, sir. If you want to bind me, be serious about it. Bind me here. Let me go. Find somebody else to afflict. Because this one that you bind me in church, then you invite me back when we get home. Because when they finish binding in church, as they go back home, they have come again. All these useless children say, see now. When he's coming back, seven spirits more wicked. And the boys begin to beat their parents. And the man is wondering, what happened? My message to you, that why God sent me, let me go and tell you what happened. You invited the evil spirits. You have rebuked Satan enough in that church. I'm talking to a particular church, I'm sure. I didn't plan it to. So your church, let me just finish your message. It's made it for that, your church. You have fired the devil enough. Holy Ghost fire does not work on the devil. I hope you all know that. We have agreed on that. We have scriptural proof for it. Who does Holy Ghost fire work on? If it works on you, say amen.
Amen.
Let me pray a prayer for you. More Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
On your head.
Amen.
In your job.
Amen.
In your ministry.
Amen.
In your family.
Amen.
Holy Ghost
fire.
Thank you. That's the proper use of it. So go back to church, tell your pastor that Pastor Banky said we have been misusing Holy Ghost fire. Why should we be arming our enemies against us? We are the ones that need the Holy Ghost fire. The blood of Jesus also, does it work on enemies?
No.
Who does it work on?
On me.
on my heart. Upon your life, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It washes away all your sins.
Amen.
It makes it impossible for the devil to hold you.
Amen.
We never apply the blood on our enemies until they believe. When they believe, we will sprinkle them with the blood of sprinkling. But until they believe, we own the blood of Jesus. We use the blood of you. We cream it. You know what I mean by cream it? In the morning, you rub it all over you, all your body. You'll be the shine. What you are shining red. Let me pray again. On your head, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
On your arms, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
On your chest, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Your whole body, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Washed away every sin, every affliction, every attachment of the devil is broken by the power of that blood in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so go back and tell your pastor, whoever it is I'm preaching to, that, sir, we have been misusing this blood. The main problem, we are believers. Our main problem is that we create a place for Satan to stay. And that's why he has stayed. That's why we have been praying for years to drive him away. We have not succeeded. Let me just drop this one, alright, so we can close. It's important for us to understand. You know, today when we started, we explained that what God gives us is understanding. Psalm 25. What God gives us is the knowledge of his way. So, we want to drive the devil away in our lives. What we do is that we pray for what? For understanding. You know, Moses, God came to him one day. Moses looked at God and said, show me your ways. No, I used to read before that Moses, he showed his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. But like, God, why? Why the discrimination? Why don't you just show everybody your ways so that there will be no wahala in the camp? I found out later that they didn't want to know. They were not interested. Moses was the one that came and said, Lord, show me your ways. And God showed it to him. That's what I said at the beginning. Please, you're not praying for new tie, new shoe, new car. Listen, let me tell you the truth. You will get a car faster when you don't think about it. The first 1 month that there's no husband in your prayer point, you marry 2 weeks after that. It will happen to you the period you pray about something else. That's what I'm saying. You're looking for a job, enough of praying for a job. You know, God heard you the first day.
Amen.
So he says, the next prayer point, say, Lord, show me your ways. Give me understanding. How is an employee supposed to behave? You never thought about that. Say, Lord, now that you have heard me, please teach me your ways. How do employees behave that's worthy of the Lord? Remember. And I said to you again, before you finish, that is, you will have to beg. Please give me 2 more weeks. Let me finish this my retreat on how employees are supposed to behave. That's how God works. What did I say? That's how he works. The things we are focusing on as children of God, sometimes those outward material things, our focus on them actually drives them away from us. I hope you've gotten my point. I tried to conclude my message now, but the thing didn't conclude well, so we'll conclude it next time. This is how we deliver ourselves from the bondage of Satan. That stronghold is ignorance, is disobedience to God, and is lack of understanding of the order of God. It's having wrong thoughts and ideas in life, and the only way it can be broken is to fill the place with the right thoughts, right ideas, right perspective. Satan cannot stay where the truth of God is thriving. I hope you've gotten my point. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Say this with me, and we'll close with it. Say, the Lord will conceal me when there is trouble.
The Lord will conceal me when there is trouble.
He will hide me in his sanctuary.
He will hide me in his sanctuary.
He will place me out of reach on a high rock.
He will place me out of reach.
Say like you believe it. He will place me out of reach of troubles.
He will place me out of reach.
He will place me on a high rock.
He will place me on a high rock.
Then I will hold my head high.
Then I will hold my head
above
high.
My enemies who surround me.
Above my enemies.
Say like you believe it. I will never give up.
I will never give up.
I will always have hope.
Because
I know the Lord is on my side. Say, I will constantly rejoice.
I
will be happy at all times. I will always have hope. And therefore, there will always be a smile on my face. Say, like you believe, you say, I declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge.
He's
my place of safety. He's my God. And in him I trust. He will rescue me out of every trap. And protect me from every deadly disease.
He
will shield me with his wings.
He
will shelter me with his feathers.
He will shelter me with his
I will not be afraid of the terror of the night.
I will not be afraid of the terror of the night.
Nor fear the dangers of the day.
Nor fear the dangers of the day.
I will not be afraid of the epidemic that stalks in darkness.
I will not be afraid of the epidemic that stalks in darkness.
Nor disasters that strikes at midday.
Nor disasters that strike at midday.
Say like you believe it. Do a thousand fall at my side.
Do a thousand fall at my side.
10,000 at my right hand.
10,000 at my right hand.
These evils will not touch me.
Because I have made the Lord my refuge.
Say, no evil will conquer me.
No
plague will come near my dwelling.
God's
angels are protecting me. Say,
God's angels are protecting me.
I will trample down lions,
poisonous snakes,
fierce enemies.
I
will overcome all of them.
All the troubles of life,
I am an overcomer above them. God will rescue me because I love him.
He will answer me when I call.
And he will be with me in the time of trouble. Say this and we close. With long life he will satisfy me.
And he will show me his deliverance.
He will show me his healing.
And he will show me his prosperity.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Make the last line personal again. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.